What's up, boys and girls, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are here for another version of Laying the Points with Farley Betts, a sports betting podcast designed to tell like it is and teach you the proper tactics and strategies and philosophies to succeed in this wide world of sports betting that is exploding and burgeoning across America. I'm not here to pontificate down to you. I'm here to talk to, have a conversation, if you will, with the 99% of you who are just trying to make an extra dollar, an extra nickel, an extra dime. I get it. Then I fell in love with the sports betting industry when that was me a few years ago. Now very much in the industry, won fifth place in the Circa Millions contest last season in the NFL, 114K cash prize. I'm the head of betting at the 33rd team and a betting analyst on the BetUS NFL and NBA shows and the owner of FarleyBets.com. Check out my site every single day for a free pick. Some days, of course, we take off because that's life and you have to take off in sports betting, right? That's a big lesson, a big thing to learn in the sports betting world is that this is an addictive hobby, right? Something where we can put a few dollars with the click of a button on our phones into our gambling and betting accounts, thinking that we can instantly make money. And if we do it the smart way, long-term, steady, strategic, that can be true. But it can also be very stimulating and impulsively addicting. So you got to watch out for that. Can't have a free pick or can't have picks every single day, right? On today's show, it's just going to be me flying solo, probably a shorter podcast. I'm going to start it off with my rant, as I always do, and then we'll tackle the February 28th NBA slate. A lot of games on the slate tonight across the association, and a few that I'm looking at, a few that I like more than others. I'll give out a free pick or two in the NBA. I'll also give out a free pick in college basketball because there's one angle that I really like. We're coming off a 6-2 night, 2-1 in college basketball, 4-1 in the NBA. Free pick at Farley Betts hit yesterday. That's 7-5, our last 12 free picks, I believe. We went on a red hot streak of 5 in a row, and then we lost 4 in a row. So a little streaky. After the All-Star break, the NBA was cruel to me. Weird things happening. But I think we're back on track. Let's start with my rant. I always got to start with my rant, you know. Charles Barkley said it. I don't know when he said it. Last night, maybe? Monday, February 27th? Is that when he said it? I don't know. And he says a lot of things that I want to say to bigger audiences. You know, Charles just kind of tells it like it is, right? I love Charles Barkley and Shaq, like that whole crew on TNT. It's like 10 times better than what ESPN offers. But he's saying that we're paying bums. We keep on paying bums. Now, I'm not going to call these NBA players bums. But he's onto something, right? And the problem is that not only are we paying good NBA players a shit ton of money, but the perception about these players is starting to permeate the public's perception, the odds makers' perception, the sports book's perception, the marketplace of sports betting. You can just kind of see it, right? Like D'Angelo Russell joins the Lakers. The Lakers have one or two good wins against bad teams. Now, they beat the Mavericks the other night, a huge comeback by LeBron and the Lakers. That was impressive. But before that, I wasn't that impressed. Like, I forget who they beat offhand, but they were low-tier teams. You know, they're teams they should beat. And teams are like, I don't know. I think I see it. Starting to believe in the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell is a good player. But now LeBron James is out, probably out a few weeks because of a foot injury. D'Angelo Russell is currently out. It's all going to fall on Anthony Davis again. But a player like D'Angelo Russell, right, or even Kyrie going from the Nets to Dallas, people jumping on that bandwagon right away. I mean, Kyrie is absolutely an elite talent in the NBA. Like if you had a one-on-one contest in the All-Star break, which you should, by the way, the All-Star break should have a one-on-one tournament and maybe we'll actually pay attention, because that was awful what we saw on All-Star Weekend. But I digress. One-to-one, Kyrie would beat a lot of players in the NBA because of his dribbling, his ability to get to the rim. Great player. But we constantly overreact and overpay these athletes, and especially in the NBA. And I know there's been a big surge, like, look at the money that these owners and billionaires are making, and they're not paying the athletes. I get that, all right? There needs to be more equality in that exchange. But it's bad business to overpay athletes who haven't proven themselves yet. Let's look at Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. That is the quintessential example, a microcosm of what is happening in the sports world today, where you have a guy in Jake Paul who really hasn't fought anybody of any value. He's fought ex-UFC fighters, old UFC fighters who are not strikers, not boxers, and he beats them. And he doesn't even beat them in the first round. And we're supposed to be impressed. Shockingly, not so shockingly, I'm being fucking sarcastic, he faces a guy who actually has some boxing acumen and skill, and Tommy Fury comes from a boxing bloodline, obviously. Not as natural of a boxer, obviously, as his brother, the heavyweight champ, Tyson Fury, but more skilled, training longer, more refined, and Tommy Fury wins. And if you listen to those commentators, I was embarrassed that I bought that fight, by the way. $50, whatever. I won my bet on Tommy Fury, so I made up for it. But I'm sitting there like, what the fuck am I doing with my time on a Sunday afternoon? I mean, it's nice to watch like a highly viewed sport, you know, event. But afterwards, I'm thinking, what am I doing? Tommy Fury, Jake Paul? Clearly, are not like real seasoned professional boxers. You put any real boxer in that ring, and they're gonna murk those guys. It's obvious just watching them. When you watch other boxers, right, their movement. I mean, I box a little bit in the gym. I try to learn the style. You know, I try to learn, like, you know, proper technique and tactics. I might have had better technique than Jake Paul in that fight, right? They're both boxers are kind of like not really defending themselves. Their guard isn't up. Haymakers, roundabout punches. Very few of them landing, but Tommy Fury, because he has some background, some skill, he won the fight, and he should have won the fight. But if you watch the fight, the commentators, the entire time, it was like an ex-boxer and another guy were trying to sell that fight so hard. They're like, listen, this was a display of some real boxing prowess. These guys are legit. What a legit fight. The boxing community should be proud. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You put someone like Nate Diaz in that ring, Conor McGregor, someone who's UFC but striking oriented, I think they're going to dominate those guys. And they have to practice the martial arts in a lot of different ways, right? They can't even focus on just boxing. But I'm pretty certain that would happen. So we have this kind of degradation of sports going on right now, right? A player like Jason Tatum in the NBA, he's only recently proven that he can hold his team, the Celtics, on his back when he needs to. Got that game-winning shot the other night. I think it was against the 76ers. Jason Tatum is playing great basketball right now. Deserves to get paid, deserves to get praised. But he hasn't really been there. Like, two seasons ago, he was an almost star, right? Like, we were like, wow, this kid could be really good on a really good team. But last season, the season before that, all I'm hearing are guys and pundits and bettors talking about how elite he is. And I'm like, you know what's elite? I'll tell you what elite is. Elite is LeBron James and what he's still doing at 38 years old, what he's done in his career. Elite is Giannis Antetokounmpo, leading the Bucks season after season, the most dominant player in the NBA, steps up in big game situations on offense and defense, does it all the time, has won a championship. I mean, that's the first thing, right? You got to win it. You got to be there. Steph Curry, leader of men, one of the best shooters of all time, multiple championships. Like, greatness is really degraded these days. And in the marketplace, you have to pay attention to that. Because even though odds makers and these sharps out there, Lord knows, these old-time sharps who are talking down to you on Twitter, many of them are. Talking about you, Steve Vezek. You know, they pontificate and they act as if they know the sport itself. A lot of these guys, first of all, are math dorks who have never, like, they can't throw a football. They can't shoot a basketball. And they're talking about the sport with nuance, as if they understand the dynamics of psychology and toughness and greatness and leadership. Sorry, it's obvious they don't. Stick to your numbers. But you'll hear them, and even odds makers now, right, buying into some of these players who are just getting a little too much hype a little too soon. Why is Kevin Durant in Phoenix if Devin Booker is a true number one? Because he's not. He's a good shooter. But under big game or big pressure moments, high pressure moments, big game, end of game situations, not good. Has not been great in those situations. We've seen it over and over again in the playoffs. Cannot hold the Suns on his shoulders against elite defenses in the NBA playoffs. Cannot. Couldn't do it last year against the Warriors and the Mavericks. He won't do it this year. But now with Kevin Durant, is a real shot that team improves, at least offensively. But, you know, Kyrie Irving, the Mavericks, since Kyrie came over there, they're allowing 117 points per game. They're 1-4 in their last five games. So that whole scene that we saw, Kyrie's walking with the fans of Dallas. Things are going great. Wee-hoo! Kyrie and Luka, baby! Kind of falling off that pedestal now a little bit, aren't we? We have a real problem in society, especially in sports, with having patience, letting players become elite before we can actually, or we should actually, call them elite. That's true of even Jalen Hurts. Before that Super Bowl, in my mind, it was a jackass perspective to call him elite. You face cupcake defenses up until the Super Bowl. And your defense never faced a great offense. Eagles lose. He played great, though. Now I believe in Jalen Hurts a little bit more. But we're crowning that dude before the Super Bowl. Just like we're crowning a lot of these dudes in the NBA constantly. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Again, I love that kid. Really talented kid. Produces at a high level constantly. De'Aaron Fox, another one. But big game situations against elite defenses, what happens? We don't know for the most part because we haven't seen them in those situations. Their teams aren't good enough. But we're betting on these players and we're betting on these teams based on premises that are inflated, perceptions that are inflated about these players. You know, one of the most important parts of sports betting is watching the actual sport and the team and the way that these players emote, react, and perform in some tough situations, along with their consistency. Very, very, very few NBA players are consistent and are consistently great in big game situations. But we rush to call them superstars. We rush to pay them. Stand out, be different, look at it differently, and I think you'll win more of your bets. All right, speaking of bets, let's get to a few of these games today, a few that I really like. I'll start with the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Like I said, Lakers are without LeBron James for a few weeks. Probably no D'Angelo Russell tonight. He's doubtful. Tough spot for the Lakers. I think the Grizzlies are going to blow them out. Now, this is Anthony Davis time, right? So if you wanted to play on his rebounds, his points, I don't blame you for doing that. He's going to have to handle the onus, right, for that offense, for that team, really, on both ends. And his defense can be great as well. That's a top 10 player in the NBA, by the way, if he's motivated. No doubt about it. It's just a big if he's motivated, unfortunately. Now, initially, I wouldn't have made this number so big. I had it at 6.5 or 7. because Memphis hasn't been that great lately. 23rd ranked offense over the last seven games, 27th in rebound percentage. They're turning the ball over a little bit more. And certainly Steven Adams not being in their lineup has hurt them. He's really important for their rotation, for setting picks, for filling voids in the paint on defense and offense, for rim protection, rebounds. But they're used to him not playing for a long time now. And this is a Lakers team who, in the first game between these two teams, found a way to win in a game where they really didn't shoot that well. They didn't score. They weren't that effective or efficient scoring. But they found a way to win thanks to a great performance by Russell Westbrook off the bench, 29 points from Russ, a lot of assists and rebounds from LeBron. You have to attack and explode against the Grizzlies in the same manner that they do against teams to beat them. And the Grizzlies are at home. Their defense has been a top unit in the NBA all season. And recently, they're between the second and third ranked defense the last few weeks. This is a consistently good defense. Jaren Jackson Jr. will be up to the task to take on Anthony Davis. And let's face it, they can really focus on him, right? They could rotate on defense to make sure that he doesn't have easy buckets. I think this one goes under, even at the current total of 230, but I took it last night under 235.5. So I love that number. I would still take the under on this, and I would strongly lean to Memphis. Memphis in the first half is -5. I think that's a nice line. Memphis full game is -9. I think they cover that too. I think Memphis is about to go on a run. They've been stumbling. They've been injured. Up and down performances. Now they're back at home. We have about, 2 months until the playoffs, month and a half. It's clobbering time for one of the top teams in the Western Conference. And I think they show it tonight. Really tough team to beat at home. The Bucks and the Nets. Bucks are going up and up. They're 6.5-point favorites now on the road in Brooklyn. But there's not a lot of reasons to not like the Bucks tonight. Giannis is also probable, and I thought Giannis was not going to play in this game, you know, after going down to that knee injury in the last game where he just walked off the floor, but, you know, it didn't really seem right. I don't know why they would put him back on the floor against the Nets, which is a pretty – I mean, this is a game they can win without Giannis, I would think. But this is a Bucks team, man. They won 14 games in a row. They're just operating on a different level. Best defense, best net rating over the last 10 games. And they're going to have a lot of matchup advantages tonight on defense as well. Now, the Nets, I think this Nets team can catch a team sleeping. You know, we kind of saw that. They were very competitive against the Hawks after everybody was like, ha ha, look at the Nets. Look at how much they lost to the Bulls by. You know, oh my God, they lost by 40-plus points to the Bulls. What a shitty team. Yeah, I mean, the Nets are going to have those moments, right? They have a lot of B-plus players. But the Nets are one star away from becoming a really good team, I think. And maybe they'll form a star on that team because they just have a lot of good players. I mean, if you look at who this team is composed of, right? They brought over Mikal Bridges, great player, hard worker. Spencer Dinwiddie, hard worker. Definitely has some work to do in his overall game and his consistency, but a B player, hard worker. Cam Johnson, excellent shooter, young player, probably ready to like burst onto the scene as a player that you should fear. Starting to score more points too. They have Seth Curry. Nick Claxton has been a blocking machine. Joe Harris, Patty Mills off the bench, Royce O'Neal off the bench. Ben Simmons is injured right now, but if he can settle in, it could obviously provide some good defense and support on offense. So they're just a team full of B and B-plus players. They can surprise some teams. I don't think they're going to catch the Bucks sleeping tonight. The Bucks have been phenomenal. Now, the Bucks do have a back-to-back. They're home tomorrow against the Magic, so that's a weird spot. And I'm not convinced that Giannis is really going to play. So I'm not going to play in this game, but I do think that the total is a little too high at 230. I had at 226. I think the Bucks defense can really limit Brooklyn tonight, and that's the biggest reason why I think the total is a little too high. Let's move on to the Timberwolves and Clippers. This is a tough one. Clippers are favored, as they should be, by 6.5 against a Timberwolves team that is, you know, perennially disappointing. But this is a good spot for the Clippers coming back home. You might think on one hand, but they got to turn around on Thursday and go to Golden State and then face Sacramento again. And remember, their game against Sacramento is the game that scored, what, 351 points, two overtimes, and Sacramento won that game, put up 176 on the Clippers. So the Clippers have some work to do on defense. They've been in just some crazy games, two straight OT contests. The Nuggets beat them recently, and the Nuggets will do that to you at home. It's very effective and efficient usually at home. Where's the defense for this Clippers team? I don't know. The Timberwolves aren't a good offense lately, but this is a matchup that I think maybe they can thrive a little bit. I mean, especially if the Clippers defense continues in this fashion. Listen, I didn't watch the entire game between the Clippers and Nuggets the other night, but from what I saw from Russell Westbrook, he again just seems like a piece that's not fitting ideally, right? And I'm not here to attack Russ. I don't think he's a bad player, but still taking too many shots, still kind of corrupting the spacing on the floor from what I'm seeing. In the last game between these two teams, the Timberwolves beat the Clippers, but they had D'Angelo Russell. There was no Kawhi, no PG in that game for the Clippers. I lean the Clippers, but again, these are weird spots for them. Like I said, they have Golden State ahead, so a little bit of a look ahead there for Golden State, at Golden State on Thursday. And I just don't know what this Clippers team is going to give me right now. I need to see more consistency. I need to see that maybe Russell Westbrook looks a little better on this team game to game. So I would avoid this game, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. I wouldn't play in this game. Spurs at the Jazz. Forgettable game, you might think. But here's the thing. You might want to consider playing on the Spurs early in this game. They outplayed Utah in the first quarter and first half 2 days ago when these two teams just met. And then they just totally gave up in the second half, outscored 63-37 in the second half. Now, the Jazz are still a team that can score at a very high pace, a very high rate. They're very methodical at home in that way. And the Spurs are just giving up, right? So I do think that the Jazz are going to cover this line. It's not a strong play for me or anything. It's a lean. But the Spurs are giving up. They're obviously in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. They've lost 16 games in a row. They're 5-26 on the road. 11 out of their last 16 games, they lost by double digits. And the Jazz are 20-10 at home. They're a good team at home. So I would play on the Jazz -9 if I were you. If you're gonna do anything on this game, play on that. It's a nice, easy win for the Jazz, who certainly seem like they're competing and they want to be in the playoffs this season. The Spurs, on the other hand, are not. I don't know how interested the Spurs are in getting any wins. I mean, they only scored 37 points in the second half of their last game. You tell me. All right, and finally, let's talk about the Blazers at the Warriors. Let's see if we can get an updated injury report here. We know Anthony Simons will be out. He's dealing with an ankle injury. Blazers still without Nurkic. They do have Jeremy Grant back. Obviously, Lillard coming off that crazy 71-point game. Now, you know, all things in perspective, okay? They were facing the Rockets, so that can happen to one of the worst defenses in the NBA against the Rockets. But I got to expect some regression tonight from the Blazers. I think Draymond Green is going to play. That's a good thing for the Warriors' defense. He was not in that last game. Maybe consider playing on Klay Thompson props. He's been fantastic. He looks like the Klay Thompson of old. I don't want to jinx him, but he looks great. The Warriors are appropriately 4-point favorites in this spot. They're at home. They invite the Clippers on Thursday. Kind of a cushy spot for them, way better spot for them than the Blazers anyway. The Blazers, on the other hand, are, let's see, they're going to be back home tomorrow against the Pelicans. So first night of a back-to-back for the Blazers. I don't like that for this total because initially I'd like the total going over. I mean, we got a lot of three-point shooters in this game. The Blazers don't have any paint defense right now without Nurkic. The Warriors are at home. They're going to fly up and down the floor probably. Feels like an over, right? But it's ticked down a little bit to 235.5. I don't like it anymore because some, you know, teams very often in the first game of a back-to-back just don't exert as much energy. Maybe it's lower scoring than we think, especially if the Warriors play that home defense with Draymond that they can. So as you can tell, conflicting thoughts in this game. Lean Warriors, lean over. Warriors would probably be the strongest play in this game if I had a play. I do not have a play in this game either. But we did talk about the Jazz. I would lean strongly to them. We talked about leaning under on the Bucks Nets, and I am taking the Grizzlies tonight. -4.5 or -5 in the first half, and I already took the under in that game. Would still take it at the current number. Just don't like it as much at the current number. Free pick for you, Indiana and Iowa. Indiana has a revenge game against Iowa tonight after they gave up a 21-point lead on the road to Iowa earlier this season. Iowa is way too dependent on their offense to consistently be productive. They're on the road. It's an uncomfortable environment. Indiana just got a big win the other day against Purdue. Indiana's back home. I think they're going to smash Iowa, and they're going to come out hot. I like the -3 in the first half or -6 full game. And you can actually get the -5.5 full game at some sports books. That's a nice. With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening in to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We'll be back on Thursday with another podcast. That is, if my wife doesn't pop out this baby. We're over 38 weeks. Could happen any moment, any second. So bear with me with that. Might have a great guest on Thursday as well. Might just be me solo talking about another NBA slate. Love y'all. Check out FarleyBets.com. Let's win some damn money. Let's fucking go. See ya next time.